All right. So do we have to, so that's church for you. All right, so you got to laugh. So let's pray. I'm going to thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do. Thank you for filling in, for coming. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you what you're going to do. Thank you for more and more of what you have for us. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that's going to take place, for all that you have, our hearts and minds to be open so that we will sense your presence. Anything, Lord, that's not of you, that's in the world that you came in with, we send it out. It doesn't belong here. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the presence. Thank you that your presence will be so strong and be so on fire that they have to call the fire department because they see the flames. In Jesus' name, we thank you what you have. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. So I've been talking all weekend about the love of the Holy Spirit, of Holy Spirit, and just what he has for us and what we went through. And I have to throw in a few things here. All weekend, or actually even Friday night and Saturday and Saturday last night, I do say a lot about what parents do and all the things that happen to us and how awful it is, but we know that can be healed. But what I forget to mention is when we hear all these things that our mom and dad did, I know that people say, oh my, I did that to my parents also. We have all this like kicking ourselves because I did that. Did I ruin my children, all right? Because I did the same thing. Well, I want to let you know, affirm you, no matter what you believe you've done, it's never too late. Amen. Never too late. I work with grandparents about their regret or parents about their children who are adults. It's never too late. The point is, it's a matter of doing something about it. So I want to let you know it all can be healed. Because remember, it was given to you. If it was anything that was given to you, that means you can give it away and give it back. So the Lord wants us to know that in Exodus 15, 26, it said, I, the Lord, am your healer. God loves us. He gave us his son. Obviously, we know that. And Jesus died for us, for our life and for our health. And what's important is I want to tell you about today about increasing our belief and authority to have more for healing power for yourself and for others, for you to give that to others. And I talked about Matthew 21, 22, that when you pray, believing, you will be healed. And we will need to continue to remember that, think of that. So, again, what I love when people are healed, I love people are healed all the time, and then I can use, now that number of them have been, I want to use them for instead of my giving testimonies of what I've done in the past, you can have live testimonies. So, Natalie, will you come down and give your testimony? A number of people have been healed this weekend, and I want to have them to share. This is the body of Christ. And what I want to do is, I want to mention one last thing, is that before Natalie gives her testimony, is that testimonies, as I mentioned before, are to glorify God. They're a now word to remind us of what God can do. And it's a testimony, if it becomes real to you and you feel that there, it resonates about something in your life or somebody that you know, take it for yourself. I always hear, in fact, there's a gentleman that came up and sat here last night during prayer time, and he said that he had a pain in his between his shoulder blades, and it was an ache and a pain that he had for quite a long time. And listening to what I was saying, how the Lord would receive it, and the fact that he got it because of things that happened and the stress in his life, he realized he didn't need to hold on to that. He didn't need to because it was not his to keep. It was somebody else who gave it to him because of the stresses he was in. And as he released that, he said, he didn't come up for prayer. He just came up to tell me that it was gone. And I get that usually at least several, a few each time I have a conference. Just because we decide that this is not mine. We got to start there. All right? And so what you hear from my teaching, declare it, command it, decree it for yourself. If I describe something of how you heal it, begin thinking and doing it for yourself wherever you are. God heals anytime, anywhere, anybody. So we can then, if he can heal one, he can heal another, and he can heal ourselves. All right? There you go. You're not bashful, I know that.
Well, no, I'm not. Psalm 138, 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. I have had issues with carpal tunnel and with my ankle. Don't know, there seems to be a connection. Years of people praying, words of knowledge, finally ended up, I had to have surgery and therapy, taking care of it. The cyst came back. Pain came back, and they were always connected. Contacted Craig. Anyway, last night, two nights ago, just very swiftly as we're getting ready to close down, he remembered that I was the one that had called him. And so he prayed over my wrist. The cyst had come back. It was pretty large, and it was aching, and my ankle was aching. And he just very basically prayed and asked me about my mom and dad. And immediately I saw something, and we took care of it. And my cyst is gone, the pain is gone. And there was a birth defect with my foot, the swelling has gone down, and the ache is gone.
Praise God. Woo! Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. That's awesome. All right. So we need to realize that 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by his stripes we are healed. Jesus already took away our sickness. And so what's interesting is because we often pray waiting for the Lord, waiting for something to happen. But the Lord wants us to then seek the healing, go after it, because it's already there for us to take it, because he's already died, and he has then died for our healing. So he wants us, he doesn't want us to wait around for something to happen. He wants to take what's already ours. Though what I did this weekend is to explain what is still blocking it. So to understand healing and why I don't have it is to find what's still blocking it. And the Lord, because the Lord is just waiting for you to take it, but there's something else. And remember, we talked about if it's sin, is it a sin issue? Does he ask for forgiveness? Is it unforgiveness? Forgive that person, release the emotion from that. And then is it a spiritual warfare? Rebuke in a way. So if there's something left, it usually, most of the time, it's something to do with our soul. And I talked about that. It's in the soul issues, which is the mind, will, and emotions. So we need to find that. And, of course, my book, Breaking Emotional Barriers to Healing, the green book, which is out on the book table, that explains really all of this. So, and what I talked about today, yesterday. So what's important is that if we just talk about healing and the faith to be healed, because people will say, I don't feel the power, or I don't see the healing, or I don't feel anything. So why do we struggle to be healed or to give it or lose it? Because it's already there. About this feeling thing, I'm all about feelings because that's what I work in, work with people, but you have to recognize something. It's not about, again, remember, you got the soul issue, and it's really, if you work through your soul, then you're waiting for something to be, see it or feel it to happen. And if you do that, then it's that you're setting yourself for disappointment, because it's not about what you see, it's about what you believe. Because if you wait for what you see, there's the disappointment. I'll give you one example. I don't know if you in John 14:15, it says that Jesus says to the disciples that I am going and I'll bring another helper, which is Holy Spirit. So you know that the Holy Spirit is with you when you accept Jesus Christ. Is that correct? So do you realize that when you pray the prayer, come Holy Spirit, that's a prayer of unbelief? So the point is that you need to recognize we're still always waiting to get something rather than believing that I already have it. And so you need to take what you have. And so when we pray, and I've mentioned this before, when we pray, we're praying to receive something. We're waiting to receive it. Did you know that in Greek, the word receive means to take it? So what we need to do is we need to realize that I already have it. So why something that's already there, so I just need to just go ahead and take it. However, for some reason, I can't seem to have it. Even though I want to go after it. So my point is never stop seeking your healing. Go after it and find out what is still blocking it. And that's what I was teaching this weekend. And so, again, we need to realize that healing is stepping out in faith, believing what God says he can do, it will be done. Again, another way to spell faith is R-I-S-K. So we're stepping out. Faith is about stepping out into something that's impossible, doing something that you couldn't do on your own. All right, so this is a story. I worked with a mother, and the mother told me the story about her daughter, and this is her daughter's story. This is a woman, she's 21 years old, diagnosed with Lyme's disease. Now, she's had Lyme disease for several years, just a devastating situation when you get into it. She repeated episodes of severe, because of Lyme's, vertigo, racing heart, high blood pressure, severe pain, her chest, back, kidneys, just areas, taking morphine and other narcotics for pain relief, fear, anxiety, just trauma feelings and depression. Mother was an RN. She stopped working to take care of her. This woman was attending college for music and theater. When she became ill, she could not finish her degree there, had to stop going to school. After 6.5 years, she saw 9 different doctors around the country. She had 35 ER visits from the pain. And when the medical symptoms become overwhelming, she would go back to the ER. She had a total of 4 Lyme specialists throughout the country she went to. Consistent prayer and medical treatments were not helping the problem. She went to the hospital for severe pain. She was hospitalized to have a morphine drip. I've been really growing as a prayer warrior and intercessor, but my fear plagued me, she said. She felt disappointed and felt like she was falling into a deep hole of desperation and despair because of the lack of healing. So while she was in the hospital, she declared that I am going to be healed. She spoke that over herself. And when she was there, God spoke to her through 3 different people. 2 separate clergy came in separate times, one a hospital clergy, and I think one was her own. And they said to her the same thing, not knowing each other, not to trust herself, but trust what God had for her. Then a woman friend came in who she didn't know that well, but somebody from the church, but she knew all. But she just came to see her, and she said how much she spoke about the, this friend said to her, the girl, how much you spoke about the disease, how much you spoke about it, that you had it, that you were living with it, that you own it as a major part of your life. This woman said to this girl, she said, remove the words of Lyme disease and sick from your vocabulary. For the next week, do not speak the words that you have the disease. Do not claim it, do not believe it, speak it, and denounce what you were given and denounce the fact that you believed it. Constantly thank God for his healing. Tell your friends, family, and church members of your healing and that you are being healed and that you are healed. She took the words very seriously and did not speak any negative words or claim the disease. She denounced the fact that she accepted it and what she was given by authorities over her. She denounced that to believe and ask for forgiveness for not believing what the Lord had. She only spoke of the words of healing, telling people that she was healed. After one week of doing this, is what she said, all the symptoms totally disappeared. She has not returned to the ER, never needed to see a doctor or had any medication since. Yeah, that's an awesome story. By the way, this girl, a woman, on my website, Insights from the Heart, insightsfromtheheart.com, there's in, go to healing videos, and I think she's the last one on there. She gives that. It's only about 10 minutes, 7 or 10 minutes. So it's an awesome testimony. So God wants us to know that He just wants to give you more and more of what he has for you. He wants to let you know that he wants to give you more than what you have now. So if you could do it, then and don't need to pray for help, then it's not about faith. Because Hebrews 11:1 is about faith is believing in something that we do not have. It's stepping into something that only God can do. So let's see. I want to have somebody else give a testimony. So Caitlin, will you come up? How was work last night?
Oh, fun.
Was it? That's
I
good.
I didn't have pain, so that was nice.
That's good. Well, tell them what you had beforehand, and if you're able to, just a little bit of where you went, and then what God did afterwards.
Okay. So.
Because you'll be doing this more often, by the way. Okay. All right. So when God, now you should do this anyway, whatever God does, whether it's small or large. I worked in one of my first jobs was in Detroit. I was working in I hope I don't mind stopping you here, but okay. So I worked in Harper Hospital, which was a 900 bed hospital at the time. It was huge. It has 27 social workers, and so I was one of them. Anyway, I was hired to be a floater, so I went to all the units taking place of anybody that was on vacation. So for me, it was a miracle just to walk towards an elevator and have it open up so I could go to the ninth floor, you know. So that's a small thing. So when the Lord does something, touches your body or touches you, and you receive something from the Lord, that is a testimony. Testimony will glorify the Lord. And then when I had my back injury healed many years ago, I took that and realized, and from that, I had this, it started out in like a, not only testimonies, but I had this back injury healing ministry. It was amazing. It's very easy to heal a back injury, but of course you got to find out what's out there. But so the Lord's going to start using you to be able to not only heal, but because when you've been healed, that means you can give that away.
Yeah, and everybody at work knows too. They saw my X-rays. So
really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell them all about it.
All right. So I had a tumor or a vas malfunction in my right lower ankle, like right here. I sprained my ankle in about 7th grade, and since then I've had excruciating pain up to a level 8, some days a 10. And like he said, I work at a hospital, so running around, you're always in constant pain. So that was really hard at work. So yesterday I came up and talked to him, and he knew I had work, so I was going to get prayed for, so I was the first one to get prayed for. And we worked with some stuff that happened in 7th grade with my uncle, and healed all that. And then finally I felt like a tingling and a weird feeling that I've never felt in my leg before.
What was it, a heat?
No, it was like a tingle. Like I had, when we prayed, I had like a peace go over me, but then like I had this weird like tingling,
like a going to sleep,
yeah,
kind
like
of feeling?
Dissolving, basically.
Okay, so though obviously tingling and warmth are two of the major signs of healing, and then a sense of dissolving. Usually if you have a tumor or something there, you tell it to dissolve in the name of Jesus, and yeah. I think we talked about that. Okay.
Yeah, so I felt it just tingling and like dissolving, and yesterday night with the 8-hour shift, we were running and everything, and I was like, I almost walked up to someone and said, wow, my ankle's really killing me. And I was like, wait, it's not, like, it's not even there. And usually I'm really open about saying it, too. So I didn't have any pain last night, and I usually do. And this morning when I looked at it, it's almost flat now. You don't even see the lump. Well,
praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, are you mom, the recorder?
Dad, mom.
All right, did you actually get this? Oh man, yeah. I should have thought I did that. I should have that was an awesome. Wasn't that an awesome testimony? Man. You what? Well, who did? Okay. Can they send it to me? Like she's a natural. Like she just did this so easily, right? So you're going to be doing that more. I just declare that. So who's your friend? Is he here? Is the person here? Okay. All right. So, Merrill, will you give him my email, and he can send that to me. Send that to me. So I like to. You don't mind me showing that to you. So you're going to be worldwide now. You know. I don't know about worldwide yet, okay, but you will. Okay, so what I want to do is, because this is a Sunday, I need to, we need to do the Sunday thing, and we're going to go to scriptures, all right? So if you have your Bible or put it up on the screen, we're going to go to Mark 5, 25 through 34, because I want to talk about faith is believing in something that is not there, and believing that if there's an opportunity that we need to go after it, and God will wants to glorify it, us because of it. This is a story of the woman with the hemorrhage of 12 years. All right, good. What's that verse? What version are you using?
NIV.
Okay, cool. Oh, you're the one that's doing it. I'm speaking up there. That's what I did all day yesterday. I'm going up there. No, it wasn't happening there. Okay, so let's go to the NIV. So, and a woman was there who had spent subject to bleeding for 12 years. And she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she learned about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touched his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you a little bit about this woman. So this woman with the hemorrhage had spent all she had, and she had this hemorrhage that she had no control over. She didn't exactly know why it was there, though it was there. And like, obviously back then they didn't have any medical knowledge of why things happened the way they did. I mean, they usually typically thought it was something spiritual and demonic. That's why demonic is so big when you talk about in the scriptures, because that was their rationale for everything that they couldn't explain, which was typically everything. Okay, so she spent everything she could, even the doctor's care. And interesting enough, that still happens today. And this is not against doctors. This is just against getting something taken care of. And we do a lot, and it still doesn't happen. And it only became worse. So the disease of the woman, by the way, and this is what's really interesting. This disease, because of blood flow, made the woman considered unclean in Jewish law. So that means, literally, figuratively, and literally, she was unfit to be in society, to be around anybody else. She was unfit to go to heaven, and she was considered infectious and dangerous and to be avoided by everybody. It's one step past COVID or something. Okay, neither could she eat nor tithe or food, or she couldn't celebrate Passover with anybody else. She had to do it in a month's delay. And she had to stay away from the tabernacle because she was unclean. And also priests had to avoid her. The priests, Sadducees, Pharisees, had to avoid unclean people with threat of them being ritually defiled and killed. And their family then, if they were defiled, their families were forced to leave the area, and they no longer could live in Jerusalem. And their family would be removed from their home and the land. So, and also it says in here in my notes that the priests, if the priests were defiled, it will bring the threat of divine retribution and death to them. So this woman knew when she went to Jesus, there was a big threat to him and to her. She could be killed if she was known. So that's a lot. That's a lot of stress. But she believed, she had such a belief that she could only touch his clothes. And by the way, she literally touched just just the end of his garment. It wasn't very much. It's not like she touched everything. She had a little bit of a touch to an end of his garment. And when that happened, Jesus automatically knew that it was a feeling, because of my understanding, it was very crowded, because it was everybody wanted to be around Jesus. But this one person touched, because of her belief of desiring, wanting that healing, she believed that if she could touch it, that she would be healed. And that's what God wants us to have, that belief, that we're going to go after something, and because of his ability, we will be healed. So which is interesting, the woman's, out of her desperation, and I don't like to talk about, I don't feel we have to be desperate to get something we already have. I believe we could be determined. So out of her belief in touching just his garment, in a small area of his garment, she believed that she would be healed. So in Hebrews 11:6, it says, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that God is the rewarder of those who seek him. And I believe as we seek God, even when you seeking God through praying for somebody, because our job is to be obedient. That's it. And being obedient by praying for somebody. We're not the one to heal them. We're just the ones to pray. So when somebody comes up to me, I don't know if they're going to be healed, but I believe they will be. The reason why I don't know is because I don't know what's blocking it. But I do know that it will be changed, and I do know that it can be. So at that moment, I say, okay, what's going on? And then we just go after it. And if it gets blocked, we just expand the search to find out what that block is. Because, listen, so I look at it always this way, and I explain it this way. If somebody says, I don't know if I'm worthy to be healed, I hear that often. So if you have a child or a grandchild or niece or a nephew, think about it this way. Would you ever want that person, that child, to suffer? Like, no. That would be child abuse if you did. So people say, well, God doesn't want me to heal. I'll say, what? That's child abuse. So if you don't want that, and he loves you even more than what you love your own niece or child, why would he not want you healed? So you just have to find out what it is that's blocking it. Well, why did so-and-so die? I mean, even if you went after something, I don't know if they died. I'll know when I get to heaven. But all I know is, we need to continue to seek it and still believe that it can heal, even if somebody died. You ever heard of, the hunters, Francis and Charles Hunter? They're the hoppy hunters. Joan Hunter is their daughter, who I know personally. And they prayed for, I don't think, 10,000 people in crusades they had until people started getting healing. And they realized that they just need to step into it. If somebody didn't get healed, and then their crusade just exploded. And so they just said, it's not our job to be disappointed whether they're not healed. It's our job to continue to pray for healing, and God will step into it. And it's whatever's happening, and God sees that. That's the rewarder. That's Hebrews 11:6, and no matter what we do, all right? So you need to realize that in verse 32, after the healing, Jesus looked around to see who had done this. Now, the woman was afraid. She was terrified because she knew he was a priest. She knew him, but she also knew what could happen to her. She was terrified, not just because she touched him, but because she was even there in public. And, of course, he was not like the other priests. He said, he assured her that your faith has made you well. And so when you step out in faith, he wants to make you well. It's in terms of what you believe. So let's find another one. Briley. Is she here? Oh, yeah, there you are. Can you give your testimony? All right.
Hi, guys. So I came yesterday.
Can somebody do a little, do you have an iPad? Can you tape, can you do this one? I mean, I always forget to do this. I love hearing testimonies. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so I came yesterday, and it was a really good day. It was a very emotional day for me, and I actually was, like, crying the whole message. And I knew I didn't have any, like, physical pain in my body, but I just knew I needed to talk to him, and I needed to ask him a question for some reason. So I came up to him, and I asked him my question, and my testimony is just, like, God knows what you need. Like, I knew something was feeling empty. Like, I knew something was wrong. I knew I was dealing with something, but I just didn't know what it was, or I thought it was part of my personality, and I thought it was just what I was going to have to deal with my whole life. So I came up to him, not with the intention of getting prayed for, but God knows what I need, and I asked him the question, and he asked if he could pray for me, and we went through a lot of things, and I finally felt free. Like, I just felt the rejection that I was dealing with and the fear of man and fear of rejecting myself and all of that just come off me. And I didn't even know I needed it, but he knew what I needed it, and he prepared that way for me. So yeah, I'm free.
Good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So oftentimes, and that's a good point you made, is we don't really know what we need, but we know we don't like what we're in. And so, okay, so throughout yesterday, I asked the question. So I'll do it again, because I love asking it. Okay, I'm going to ask you a yes or no question, and I'd like a yes or no answer. Are you a smart person?
Yes.
All right, that's way better. Okay, and because you're a smart person, think about it this way. So if there's something that, and because you were a born-again Christian, so you have all the power of Jesus, you have all the authority of Jesus, you can call all the legions of angels down to do something, and you also are going to heaven. So if there's something that you have that doesn't make sense, you know, it's not of God, it's something that it's negative, and it's something that doesn't help you do what Christ wants you to do, should you have that? No, you shouldn't, because you're a smart person. So if it doesn't make sense, give it permission not to make sense. That means it was given to you by somebody or some circumstance. So I'm telling you, you are smart enough now that if something doesn't make sense and it's not of God and it doesn't give God glory and it doesn't make you allow you to function well in God's grace or God's glory, then it doesn't belong to you. That means it was given to you by something else that was negative, from either a generational issue or a generation before you or a person in your life or a circumstance, whatever. So that means if you're a smarter person, then wait a minute, I'm not supposed to have this. Why to have it? It was because we were given it usually at a younger age. We didn't know better when we didn't have logic. So we take that on, and then we take it on long enough, and then it becomes part of who I am. So I adjust my life to that sense of depression, the anxiety, how I live, not feeling good about myself, how I eat. And so I take that on, and then it becomes part of my life, and then it becomes part of my identity as I adjust my life around it. And here we are. Something's not right. I go to the doctor, or they give me a pill to take care of it, and still goes on, accumulates more, and then I get more prayer for it. And then it doesn't work, so I guess I'm destined to stay this way. Who said? Right? So what I try to teach people is, first of all, if you're a smart person, then believe that and realize now the reason why we hold on to it is because, number one, we don't know how else to get rid of it, or we don't even recognize it's not right because it's part of who we are. Second, because it was given to us early enough. So if you lived in a home where you had an anxious and worried mom, like a worrisome mother, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have worries. Now, you're going to know that it's not right, but it's become so part of your life that's just you kind of put it away. It just comes and goes on. But something bad enough has to happen. It triggers it up, and then it's worse. And then I get some medication for it, or I talk to somebody, feel a little bit better. But it's always rearing its ugly head. So I live with that, and that's where we're going. Now, the other reason why we hold on is because we don't really know how to get rid of it. And you can go to a counselor, that's fine. You can get prayer for it. You can go to different types of prayer ministries. And I want you to do that. But if it doesn't get rid of it, continue to do something. Don't stop. Don't think, oh. So I just tell people, and I see a lot of people, or talk to a lot of people, or pray for a lot of people at conferences that have had numerous prayers, counseling, so on and so on. And that's not a bad thing. Just continue to do it until you find someone that really knows how to get rid of what you have. God does, but there's something still blocking it. You got to go deep enough to get it. And that's what I was teaching yesterday. My book, by the way, I hate to always say this, but my book, it's in the book, okay? So in the emotional bear, breaking emotional barriers to healing. And I wrote that book because of what God gave me, downloaded to me, to give to somebody else. Because I'm not the healer. I'm just the vessel. So God wants you to know about it. So what I wanted to ask you is, what about you? So in all my talking about this, maybe you're struggling with something for a long time. And as I mentioned, it's not who you are anymore. And so what I talked about over the weekend is that what we experienced in an influential time of life creates the image of what you're going to believe the rest of your life if you let it. How you believe in something is determined by how your authority believed in you first, and then what do you do with that because they did that. Whether it's something that's good or bad. So how you were given it early in life has a lot to do with what you're going to be doing. Wow, sorry. So we're going to have dinner at 6, right? Okay, so let me finish up with this. So here's what I want to do. I want to do a little bit of an impartation, but I want to do something that's different. I want to actually release something. So what I'm going to do is over here, when we are born, and I did this yesterday with a backpack, but this is a little different. When we're born, really it's like an empty box, right? We only have temperament. We're only born with temperament, which is strong-willed or compliant. And so what happens is that strong-willed or compliant type of personality, though, then is it's actually developed and then in the environment that we grow up in. So who makes up the environment we grow up in? It's our authority figures, right? And God already made you good enough, worthy, and deserving. You're wonderfully made already. However, then he assigned you parents to teach you in that environment about what God gave you. However, because of sin in the world and what your parents went through, they only gave you what they know. And I mentioned before, it's not very good, typically. Well, sometimes it is, but it can vary. So what I want to do today, or I'm going to finish up with this, is I would like you to get comfortable, just sit back in your pew, and I would like you to, I'm going to do something where I'm going to, God want me to give to you by giving what God gave me and then have you see it in your spirit, and then I want you to be able to release it. Let me explain this. Okay, set it up here. I want to change your situation. So when the information about our parents, we talked about quite a bit, and he is waiting for you to receive something. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with having you think about yourself in your life, and then I'm going to speak out what God gave me to tell you. And as the Lord sees it, I want you to be able to release it. Because what's really interesting is when we're born, girls are born with an inherent nature, a nurturing. They're inherent nurturing. So there's a great desire to be nurtured. And what happens is if we don't receive the nurturing, we go after the nurturing. Girls are made for talking, for laughing, and interesting. I don't know if you, because you don't know that. In the brain, the talk area of the brain is actually connected right next door to the feel-good part of your brain. So that's why little girls talk so much, because it makes them feel good. I have women that come into my office as adults, and they were not allowed to speak, and they're very depressed. Women find significance through nurturing, receiving nurturing, and relationships. And men are born, boys are born primarily as rascals. And they, women are care for others because of their birthing, God gave them the inherent nurturing factor. Boys are born inherent selfish, okay, because they tend to take care of themselves, all right? I mean, not always, and that's pretty, can be pretty harsh, but it's, but what they care for is dealing with things and events, whereas women is more about the girls, or it's about the relationships. Like, girls tend to play with dolls, like having, building a family. Boys tend to play with guns and basically destroy the family. I know I'm being somewhat facetious, but really, overall, it's true. So, however, the difference, see, but here's the thing you got to understand is that the difference is like two gears, all right? So it's supposed to be complement each other like this. So, all right, so the women deal mostly, and I told you about this before, men work out of the left side of the brain, women work out of both sides of the brain simultaneously, because boys' brains in utero at seventh week is damaged from testosterone that washes over the brain, and it damages the cord that moves the information from the logic side to the emotional side. So the emotional side doesn't work really well, really. And especially if you grow up in a home the same, big boys don't cry. So when I do marriage counseling or marriage seminars, and I'll tell you this is a freebie. So women, when the man in your life, when you tell them information about feelings, or there's a feelings content in what you're asking them, give them a moment. All right? Just give them a moment, all right? Because they're not going to answer right away. Women will get very angry because men don't participate in the same level of discussion that the women do when there's emotional content, because they expect the same level, but they can't, because we're damaged commodities, okay? And we're brain damaged, come on. Just don't use it as an excuse. That means now men, you have to work a little harder here, all right? And you can do this, all right? So the point is that, so the women's emotionality and the men's logicality, all right, is supposed to complement each other. But when you have a lot of emotional hurts, and then you have a lot of tear downs and so on going on, depending on what you grow up with, it's like the gears like this. The gears don't work well because you have your emotion and their emotion. It doesn't work well. So that's what you've got to work out. And that's what I want to help you see. So if it doesn't seem to make sense, it's because there's something in the way. But if you get emotionally upset about it, it's because it's your stuff. Because they've got stuff. Everybody's got stuff. By the way, let's do this. This is always fun. Turn to the person next to you and say, you've got issues. Now, men, look at your wives' faces. They love saying that because they've been telling you that for years. Anyway, boy, did I get off topic. But anyway, so let's go. Let's do what we need to do here. So, up in heaven, would you, or down on earth, would you give us a little bit of like a little bit of mood music, something that's mellow, something like God inspired, like it'll just take us up to heaven. That's up in heaven. Is that with heaven? All right. You know, that's an amazing job you have there, because you're closer to Jesus. You're closer to heaven up there. Do you feel that? Oh, so? Okay. That's your son up there? Or okay. Okay. There you go. So what I want to do is this. I want to set the stage, so I'm going to pray. And I'm going to have you close your eyes, and then I want you to do a couple of things. So just relax. And I want you to think about somebody that's a safe person for you. And two things, and Jesus. So if you're going to have Jesus as somebody you've experienced who's safe, and Jesus is someone that you feel comforted by, use just Jesus. But if you don't feel actually comforted by Jesus, find somebody that you think of that you can be comforted by that person. And when I don't have to know, it's just for you, between you and God. And then put Jesus with you to provide the power that you need. Now, if you can't think of anybody, then I would be glad to be that person for you to substitute there to help with that. With Jesus, with me and Jesus there. Holy Spirit, would you have your children right now? I want them to experience you in a mighty way. I want them to feel something about what's happening in their lives so we can get rid of the things that is not of you. They know now that the things, if it doesn't make sense and that it's not good, then it's not for them to keep. And we just thank you what you have for them in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, what you're going to bring to them right now as you bring it to me so we can get rid of it. I ask you right now, everyone, would you put your arms across your chest as you're getting a hug from that comfortable person? Just get a hug from that person that you find love from, and Jesus. So now you're seeing Jesus there and this person because they love you so much. Jesus wants you so healed. He wants the emotion just to come off of you. And Lord, I want them to think of, we're going to start at utero. Now, they don't know, Lord, all, unless they heard about it, and they don't have to actually picture it, but if they can, however best they can sense it, sense utero while their mother was pregnant with them, a sense of in this enclosure where they were held inside. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take, Lord, this stone, and I'm going to put it inside this box and to represent a fear. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, anyone here that has had fear, we put that, Lord Jesus, in this box. And if you'd like to just tap that, like feel love and a little love hug, which is what you're getting from the person, and a love pat by tapping it back and forth, left, right, and just feeling the reassurance. There's somebody in here that's had fear in the utero. There's somebody here that has the issue of feeling like something is wrong in utero, that they were afraid in utero, and that they were depressed. There's something not right. And Lord, we release that right now in the name of Jesus. I release that right now in the name of Jesus. I want everyone to say, in Jesus' name, I release what is not mine. Take away this fear and bring me peace. Thank you, Jesus. And see Jesus touching you and bring healing to you. We release that from you. And then I will pray. In the name of Jesus, we release this emotional trauma from you. We release that. It started out in life. So you might have heard outside that there was arguing going on, or you might have felt something inside through the chemicals, through the mom. We're going to release that now. You don't know what's going on. You don't know. Well, Lord, just bring them peace and joy and love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And now, Lord, would you take them to childhood? So now they're born. I want you, everyone, to think of like you're watching a movie. You're watching a movie and you are the star. You're the little child in that movie, and you're just seeing that child in your home that you grew up in. And the caregivers are there, whoever it is. a step-parent or a parent, grandparent, where, Lord, would you take them where they need to go in the name of Jesus? And in this picture, in this scene, they see things they may not always like somebody was sick, or somebody died, or somebody was yelling, or somebody was angry, or they were lonely, or teased, or molested, or beaten. In the name of Jesus, we release that off of them now, in Jesus' name. See Jesus there, put your arms around you, and release it by giving yourself a love hug and a love pat, by just giving it, patting it out, saying it's going to be okay. I'm telling you now that the Holy Spirit wants you to know how much he loves you. He wants you to know how much he wants to take that away. It doesn't belong to you anymore. It's not yours to keep. You're only a little child. You're not supposed to go through this. I am so sorry that you had to go through this. I am so sorry that you had to feel this way. This is not yours to keep anymore. This is something that you need to release because you can. God wants to give you the peace that you deserve, that your Father in heaven, his Son, Jesus, died on the cross so you could not have pain, and you can release that. He is so sorry that the parent that he assigned you didn't always know how to love you. They just did the best they knew how. And now in the name of Jesus, we release you from that. Just release it because you can. That is not yours to keep anymore. Just let it go. Let it go. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have for them. There may be other instances as a teenager, as you grew up, being hurt by something. Somebody might have died, or somebody left you, or something that you didn't understand. Something at school and sports and being teased and things that were hurt you, and you never really understood it. You didn't like it at all. You don't have to like it. In fact, I give you permission. God wants you to know that I give you permission to never like something that hurts you. You don't even have to understand it. You just don't have to carry it around anymore. It's not yours to keep. Somebody who is hurting themselves gave you hurt. Somebody who is anxious gave you worry. Somebody who was unfair, who was themselves not feeling good, gave you something that was not good. And now you don't have to hold on to it. You just don't have to hold on to it. It's just not yours to keep. We thank you, Jesus, for releasing it. And Lord, what I do now is, even in young adulthood, those that are older, you might have had a hurt, whether it was somebody died or a divorce, or a child that died, or something that was a big disappointment in your job or career. The Lord wants you to know that he releases you from that. Pain that you have is normal. The loss that you feel, grief, is normal. You don't have to like what happened. In fact, he doesn't want you to have to like the bad things that happened. But now he gives you permission to release it, so you don't have to carry it around and continue to make your life so miserable. You don't have to do that anymore. He wants to take it from you so that you can live in happiness, knowing that you can move on now. You can. The Lord wants you to have that. He doesn't want you to walk around. He wants heaven on earth. He doesn't want you to have to wait to get to heaven. He wants to give you it now as you pray the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for that love. And Lord, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to take these hearts, and now I'm going to place them into their heart. Right now, I'm going to put another one in. Somebody, to get the love you never got, to get the feeling of rejection, and give you the sense of significance. You are significant because God made you that way. You are loved because God first loved you. You are wonderfully made, as it says in the Bible, because he first made you. You are a child of God, and you are the fullness of God. We're going to fill you up with his love. Just give him more, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Fill them, Lord. Fill them in Jesus' name. So see the Lord just being with you and giving you a great hug, knowing as if you're the only one on earth, because you are. You are his favorite, because even if you were the only one left on earth, he would just love you the same amount. And even if you're with the billions that are on earth, he still loves you the same amount. And he can do that. He can do that. So, Lord, we just thank you for what you have for each person that's here. Just give them more and more love. And I just put hearts into this box. So that's giving them more hearts, giving it out, giving it away in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you have for each person here. Thank you for the love that you're going to be continuing to give them. In Jesus' name, we just thank you for that. Thank you for all that you have for them. I want you to say out loud, in the name of Jesus, I'm allowed to be healed. I'm allowed to let go of the things that I don't want anymore.
I'm allowed to let go of things.
I don't have to like what happened to me, because I now have choices. But I choose to not hold on to what hurt me, because that only gets in the way of my enjoying my life and in my relationship with God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me, because I am free. In Jesus' name. All right, you can open your eyes. I want to thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I want to invite anybody who is on the prayer team to come up, and then we can spend some time praying for people, if you'd like. Let me just say a prayer over you, continue to let you know that God loves you as this prayer team comes up. Lord, we just thank you for what you have done today, done this weekend. We thank you for the healing that you have brought to this family of God. We just thank you for more and more healing in many, many areas, that they'll never stop seeking healing. And I pray what I have received from you, Lord, we all have that. Everyone in this room has the same thing that I have. I just give them more, give them the strength and also the excitement and encouragement to step out to provide it more to others and never stop seeking it. We just thank you, Lord. I give out the boldness. I give out the wisdom. I give out the ability, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you what you have. We thank you what you will give and what you are given to us. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so Steve, can you explain where the place people can go?
Okay, we've got five teams. There's five teams set up here. Team number one. Team number two is right here. Team three is Kathy and myself. We've got team four over here with Beth's team, and team five over here in the corner. So anyone who would like prayer for healing or for anything else, please come forward and wait. But wait, you know, if somebody has someone there, don't go up to them while they're praying for somebody. But anybody who needs any prayer, please come forward.